podcast party. Descent into Avernus.
My name is Hylan. My friends and I made a deal with a servant of Mephistopheles. We dammed the River Styx for him, and now he owes us a vial of Titan's blood. But in the process, I've been possessed by the spirit of Shumrath, who demands that I seek vengeance on all my enemies, including Snowball, the imp.
The imp is just sort of shrugging its shoulders, like looking at you being carted off by Renaissance.
Corbin's gonna point at him.
You, go invisible before you get smushed. Now.
All right.
And the imp fades from view.
And I'd like to say something else, and I look around like I don't know where it is. If you pull any shit like that again, I'm gonna smush you myself. Don't do it again. You got it?
Hey, you don't have to get all, like, up in my face about it.
Shut up.
Okay, calm down.
My head immediately looks where the voice is coming from.
Same.
I'm just completely completely rigid and still, because I still want to kill him, but I'm trying not to. Let's keep moving.
We've got to get back to the mirror.
We have to deliver this fucker.
Yeah, I was sort of hoping he would just appear here once we'd done this, but I
as
guess he
you
wants
say,
to...
as I hope he would just appear here. Rigorath steps out of a icy blue portal, sweeps back his duster, tips his hat to the five of you, and says,
"Hey, good job. Looks like you did a good job."
Looks over at the pile of debris that is now the junction between the pit of Shumrath and the River Styx. And then looks over where the invisible Snowball is and says,
"And it looks like you didn't get him hurt. So I guess that means you get what you get."
You mentioned you'd owe us a secret if we kept the little bastard safe.
Oh yeah, that is true. Looks like those of you who signed, each of you get a secret.
Well, I certainly signed it. I say there's one overriding secret that I think we're all very interested in. Where is the Bleeding Citadel?
Well, that, my friends, is something I do not unfortunately have the answer to. But I do know folks who do.
Go on.
Well, there's this... Well, he's kind of a ghost, I guess. Some say he's the dissenting member of the original Hellriders. He's the one that Zariel said wouldn't pony up to the whole being part of the band. I think they called him Olanthius.
You remember him from that triptych. There was a depiction of her torturing him.
If you've seen that, then you probably know more than I do. After all, I work for a competing member of the hierarchy.
Where can we find the ghost of Olanthius, then?
I don't know where the damn fool is, but there are others who may.
All right. Well, out with it, then.
Those people...
He looks at you and he says, "Well, that's not one secret, then. That would be two secrets."
I've yet to get a single secret that you've been able to provide so far. Why don't you provide a list of all the secrets you do have, and we'll pick one. So you're saying there are multiple people that might know where the ghost of Olanthius is?
That's a distinct possibility, yes. I certainly do not.
How about your best stab at an entity that might know where the ghost of Olanthius is? Who would be, if you had to make a list of those people, I'd like the individual at the top of the list.
Probably Bell.
I'm guessing Bell is in Bell's forge.
Oh yeah, but he don't just let people into his forge. Would that be sufficient as a secret?
That Bell knows where the ghost of Olanthius is? Yes, I suppose.
He smiles. Well, then I guess that part of our pact is then completed.
You still owe Hylan a secret.
Oh, that is very true. Turns to you, Hylan.
I'm going to put this to the group. Do we want to know how to get into Bell's domain, what the sword does, or something I would just ask for me? So out of the first two, what would everybody prefer I ask about?
You signed, so I think it should be something for you.
I would have to agree. If you wanted to know which of the three I would choose, I suppose I would choose to learn about the sword.
Okay. Ren?
I would agree with Ophelia. I'd also like to know why the sword is so important and what it does.
Okay. Well, that is my question then. What does the sword of Zariel do specifically? What benefits does it have? Does it give the wielder? What can you do with it?
I don't know very much specifically about this sword. but I do know that it was obviously used by Archduchess Zariel at a point in her life where she was not of fiendish nature, that it is of a celestial make. I would assume that being a piece of the celestial pattern, that it probably has a part of the celestial soul that resides within her.
Part of herself before she became a devil.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's worth knowing, certainly.
Definitely.
Lulu looks at Rigorath and says, so it's like a piece of her that's missing, right? Like a piece of her that could, make her whole again? Like make her what she once was? Rigorath looks at Lulu and says,
well, that, my little friend, is solely and entirely up to you. Objects don't make me who I am. Objects don't make you who you are. It's what you do with them.
Still find this somewhat encouraging. You don't want to give me a freebie, do you? And just tell me how to get Shumrath out?
He laughs raucously. He's like, get Shumrath. Oh, he looks at you and sort of notices the greenish slime that's slowly hardening on your armor.
Yeah, I was this close to killing your friend here.
Now that our pact is done, you are more than welcome to. I don't need him no more.
Snowball just yelps. He's like, what? What?
Yep, I manifest my blades. He's just standing next to me.
Snowball is somewhere in the vicinity, maybe 5 to 10 feet around Corbin. You're not quite sure exactly where he is, but you could attempt to make a couple throws in that general direction and hope that you hit him.
I zero in on an area and I throw him.
Make a couple attacks with disadvantage. Let's see if you hit him.
And that was a critical miss.
Oh, no.
On the first one. And the second one is 13 okay. And 16. So the highest I got on that is 13.
A 13 hits.
I mean, somebody can stop me after the first two, but I would definitely throw the first two. So that is 10. 10 points of 10? Psychic
He damage. Only had 10 hit points.
Oh, man. Shumrath.
I say, wait, Hyland, you're giving in to something that... Well, fuck it.
Good job.
Yeah, he was invisible. So, he becomes uninvisible only because he turns into this sort of blackish green goop and falls onto the ground with a splat.
You got him. Perfect shot right there.
I feel relieved and disgusted with myself at the same time.
Rigorath, you've yet to conclude the main part of our business.
Right, yeah, this.
And he pulls out from behind his back a small flask filled with amber liquid. It's not the color of human blood, sort of a golden orange color. He says, this is yours, I guess. And he hands it to you.
Excellent.
Right. Well, can't exactly say it was a pleasure doing business with you, but can't complain too hard either.
If that's a thank you, I'll accept it.
Has anyone got any other business to conclude with our friend?
Not unless he wants to tell us more secrets.
Do you?
No, I do not.
Get out of here.
Well, yeah, keep your powder dry. We'll start walking back to the Ragawagon, yeah. I guess.
I'm just going to hold Lily and hug her and pet her and stick my face in her fur and walk by myself.
We want to go to the Demon Zapper. Right back to the Dow.
Do we need to get away from the Shumrath and then take a rest or straight on?
I feel like shit, so I would love a rest if possible.
Again, probably, maybe not right next to the Shumrath.
Right.
No.
So shall we say, try to head maybe an hour towards the Demon Zapper and then stop?
Yeah, sounds good.
Good to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so we get back in the Ragawagon. Corbin. Strap myself into the wrecking ball station.
Are we ready?
Yeah.
Lulu,
yeah.
You ready? Let's go.
Hit it, Corbin.
Corbin will floor it and like just spit up a whole bunch of sand and dust behind him and take off south.
So you've taken an hour's travel towards what you assume to be the Demon Zapper. It would be essentially time for a long rest. You guys have been going through the majority of the day.
How's this spot look good?
Look around to see if he sees anything odd or creatures coming towards us or anything like that.
You could make a perception check.
Define good.
The plus 12, I rolled a 14.
Yeah, maybe some sand gets in your eye from all the hazardous driving that you've been doing.
Oh,
I think it's clear.
And you're rubbing your eyes. You look left, you look right, you look to the north, you look to the south. You don't see anything on the horizon, just the horrific wastes of Avernus, bubbling vats of blood and bones and skulls everywhere, hills of limbs, you know, your standard hellish landscape.
Corbin, definitely the dome here, I'm thinking. Definitely yes. The dome.
Oh, right. I just need like 10 minutes. I'll put it over the car.
Don't like the look of that particular hand pile over there.
What, is it wiggling?
No, it's just pinky's longer than the index finger on that hand. It's just not...
Oh, right. No.
I don't see any long limbs, so I don't think there's any bugbears in there, so that's all right.
All good bugbears go to heaven, Corbin.
And Corbin will take 10 minutes and ritually cast his Ilmater's Tiny Hut.
I'm actually in pretty good shape, so I'll take the first watch.
I'll take second watch.
Before we go to sleep, Corbin goes to sleep. He would like to use a spell. He has one high level spell slot. He is going to send a message to his sister, not Averly Hollow, his real sister. Daghawk.
25 words.
He sits down, he gets ready. He's sweating.
Daghawk, it's Corbin. I'm in Avernus. I contacted Sister Averly Hollow and asked for help. She said no. Change her mind. Please help your brother.
25 words exactly. The creature hears the message in its mind, recognizes you, and can answer in a like manner immediately. All right, so here's what you hear in your mind. Your message has gone through. The response in your mind is the voice of Daghawk, but it's different somehow. It's deeper. She says,
Corbin, I'm coming to find you. I promised you that I would kill you. I aim to make good on that promise. See you soon.
Shit.
Uh-oh.
Guys, I just tried to call my sister and ask her to convince the Church of Ilmater to send help, but she sounded weird. I don't know what's happening. It sounded like her, but it sounded different. I don't know. Even deeper and meaner than normal.
Do you think this has something to do with that thing in the Wandering Emporium that told you he was going to have a reunion with a lost loved one?
Maybe. I do love my sister, even though she's very hard to love. I mean, you can tell.
What did she say?
She said she promised to kill me, but she said that 1,000 times. This time she said she's going to make good on it, and she's coming for me.
Coming here?
I don't know. She knows I'm in Avernus, so maybe. How would she get here?
What if she's already here?
Why would she be here? It makes no sense.
Corbin, what if she's dead?
Oh, can you talk to somebody who's dead? I don't think so.
You can if she ended up here when she died.
Oh, shit. I might have just fucked up. I'm sorry.
Well,
it's okay, Corbin.
It's just all the more reason to keep our eyes open, yeah?
All right, and keep moving.
That's right.
Sorry.
But we're not moving right now. Hopefully she ain't that close. I'll just take first watch, shall I? I'm gonna also get a cast alarm in that case. I spread the silver twine out all around the edges of the more or less the same perimeter as the dome.
Don't worry, you can't track that spell, all right? Yeah. You're good. Yeah. Good night.
Corbin rolls over and goes to sleep.
I'm gonna watch with Renaissance.
So first watch, give me some perception checks.
It's an 18 for Renaissance.
And a 15 for Highland.
During your first watch, nothing comes out of the horrible wastes of Avernus to try to kill you. You seem to have camouflaged yourself pretty well.
Renaissance, do you have the Dust of Dryness still?
Yeah. Here's the thing about that.
Yeah.
I ain't got any more unused Dust of Dryness because I might have lost it in a poker game. Well, it was Parshant. I lost it in a Parshant game. I do have some used Dust of Dryness that actually is holy water. But right now, it's like I hold up a little pellet. It's like dehydrated holy water that I've been saving for a special occasion.
Yeah, okay. I don't want to use it for this. I got to get this stuff off me at some point. I don't know. It's not working and I keep casting prestidigitation on myself and it's not getting the Shumrath off.
You might want to ask Corbin, you know, because maybe it's like, you remember that time when Corbin spent a whole day cursed until we figured out he's probably cursed?
Right. Yeah.
Well, maybe it's like that, and then he knows a spell that can fix that.
All right, that's a good idea. I don't know how you've been doing this. This is horrible. You seem pretty, I don't want to say blasé, but it doesn't seem to bother you that much that this pit fiend is inside your head, and it just feels terrible. How do you do it?
Well, yeah, it ain't a bouquet of roses with Gargs, to be honest, but I guess it ain't quite the same because if push comes to shove, as Gargs has been quick to remind me on several occasions, I could just leave him behind when we break camp and drive away, and I probably wouldn't have to hear from him anymore. So it is at least a choice I make to keep toting him around on account of I've got a responsibility towards him, you know, but I ain't permanently stuck with him. Oh, you know what? I start moving my pinches of water. I've got, this one's just filled with regular water, if you think it might help.
How much regular water?
It's 15 cubic feet.
I just imagine you, like, ting, throwing it up in the air, and then a tropical, like, waterfall falling on both of us and it being amazing. But I don't want to waste water on myself for this, but thank you. I'm a little concerned because...
Yeah, no, it is concerning. I think you've got to keep in mind that ain't you, right? That imp was a prick, and I don't think anyone's devastated that he got killed, but...
But maybe it won't be an imp next time.
That's exactly what I was going to say. So I think it's best we talk to Corbin about it in the morning and see if he can't sort it out. You know who else might be able to help if Corbin can't? Is that Unicorn?
Oh, all right. I guess, you know, just don't let anyone piss me off between...
Yeah.
Now and then.
Right.
Okay, thanks. Say goodnight, Lily. I'll just lay my head on your shoulder and...
I'll wake up, Ophelia.
Time for second watch?
Go ahead and make me your perception check, Ophelia.
All right, that's a 9, folks.
You do not see anything. Your eyes are bleary with having just gotten about 4.5 hours of sleep. It sucks when you get up after 4 hours, but in hell, it's starting to weigh on you to all these days where you sort of... having to get up halfway through your sleep and then go back to sleep. You don't notice anything.
Okay. That whole time passes. I will wake Corbin up for third watch.
Okay. And then you head back to sleep.
Wait, it's not time yet, is it? All right.
Corbin will sit up on the ragawagon and he'll keep a lookout.
Give me a perception check.
27.
No doubt in your mind that nothing in your line of vision is coming towards the hut. So you're fine. So I think with that said, your long rest is complete. Welcome to level 10.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yay.
Oh, I feel much better.
This is exciting.
Yay.
Corbin, here's the thing. You gotta get this pit fiend out of me. Can you do that?
You think it's a curse?
I don't know. All I know is there was a part of my head that Miletium used to be in. And since I got here, I've kind of felt like I can't talk to them anymore. But now this disgusting, horrible revenge monster is there instead. And I can't. It's like when I am angry, it starts to consume me and I'm concerned. So I don't really know what can be done. But is there anything you can think of that would help?
I could try a remove curse. I can do that.
Standing behind Hyland, I just sort of silently mouth, cursed, cursed, and I nod.
Probably what it is. I could try that. All right, I'll pray for that spell this morning.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Corbin's going to drop the tech magic, and he's going to pick up remove curse.
Hyland, come over here. Going to touch you on the top of the head here.
And Corbin is going to pray to Ilmater and cast remove curse on her. Touch her on the top of the head.
Sorry, I gotta touch your head here.
Oh, that's okay, Corbin. Thank you.
And Walter, take this horrible monster creature from my friend Hyland, please.
When Corbin touches your head, Hyland, you feel this weight has come off of your entire frame. It's like when you've come out of skates. You know, when you go ice skating or something like that, and then you get into your shoes.
Yeah.
And you just feel like you can move so much freer and your feet feel relieved of all the compression and stress that they've been under. And all of that green jelly that you fell into that had hardened onto your armor, it flakes into little pieces and flies away on the wind.
Oh my God, thank you. And I just jump and I hug him and I kiss him on the cheek like 10 times.
All right. It's all right. Ilmater did it, not me, but you're welcome.
Well done, Corbin, and well done, Ilmater. Yes. And well done me for thinking of that. I was 100% confident that that would work.
Okay, I go over and I kiss Renaissance as a thank you.
Hey, Ren, if you had longer arms, you could pat yourself on the back, but...
Hold up my index finger because I'm busy kissing Island.
Oh, sorry. All right, I'll just get the car ready. You guys, whatever.
Thank you, 3PO. Thank you very much.
I can't tell if Corbin is like a combination of Chewbacca and 3PO at the same time.
He fills a lot of roles.
Yeah, he really does.
Yeah,
he's so good.
While they're doing that, Corbin's going to think about Wizen and how Wizen used to fix the car. And he's going to pray to Ilmater, and he's going to, without any tools, he's going to try to fix the car like Wizen did. Anywhere there's a crack or a broken thing or a loose thing, and he's going to walk around and he's going to cast a spell called Mending, because he got a new cantrip, and he's just going to walk around and try and fix the car.
Mending does, in fact, work pretty well. It takes a minute to cast it.
Yeah.
So as you're preparing, you know, you have to hold still and put your hands up on the broken piece of metal, but slowly but surely, it does, in fact, form together.
Whoa, fixed it.
Cool, man. That's a miracle. So you would notice anyone who's ever standing next to Renaissance would feel like a general decrease in anxiety and increase in confidence radiating off of Renaissance.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Settling on anyone who's near him as well, because he now has a aura of courage that is on all the time.
Ooh. Very cool.
As long as I am conscious, I am immune to fear. Any friendly creature within 10 feet of me is also immune to fear.
Awesome.
Incredible.
Which could lead to some bad judgment, actually, because there's a reason we have fear.
Yeah.
I guess apprehension is different.
We're immune to the frightened condition. We're not just like have no fear at all, I don't think.
Ophelia, come here. Look at the car. Ooh.
Yes, Corbin, it looks great. Look how you fixed it.
Thanks. Can I tell you something weird?
Absolutely.
I got this strange feeling that, well, I could always talk to Ilmater, but it's almost like I could ask Ilmater a favor and he might do it. I don't know why I feel like that.
Well,
like he might actually, like if I said, go kill that demon, he might come and kill that demon. I don't know.
That would be pretty amazing.
I mean, it is powerful, so...
I think I know what you mean, Corbin. I've been sitting with this helm, you know, and I feel closer to Torm than I did before. Like, maybe if I talked to him, he would really hear me. I don't know.
Wait, so you think you could talk to a different god?
Well, remember how I got this helm of Torm's sight?
Yep, it looks good on you, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, I never really had a connection to a god before, and now I feel almost as if I could connect with one. I could connect with Torm.
Wow.
It's new for me, this feeling.
I think we should save this, though, for something really important.
I think so.
All right. Are they done kissing yet?
I think so. Ophelia looks over. Are they still kissing?
But it's been like 10 minutes straight. I'm just letting it
up. I've talked to you since then.
Yes.
I think the coast is clear. I think we're good, Corbin.
All right.
Hi, everybody. The show will be back shortly for the second half. But first, it's time to tell you about a new show coming this fall from Cast Party. Beginning in October 2023, join us for a new actual play series presented by Cast Party and our friends from EN World Publishing, Level Up Advanced 5th Edition. To celebrate the publication of Level Up A5E's epic new hardcover adventure, To Save a Kingdom, we're returning to Holdenshire to face haunted castles, the madness of a fairy queen, the lost secrets of dwarven ruins, and the greatest threat of all, the dreaded dragon, Seeroth, ruler of Skull Mountain and tyrant of the desolation. This new actual play series, releasing in both podcast form and on our YouTube channel, will use Level Up A5E rules to enhance the classic Dungeons & Dragons 5E experience. While you're waiting for the new show, this summer might be a great time for a rewatch of Podcast Party Memories of Holdenshire, our previous Level Up A5E series, which serves as a prelude for To Slay a Dragon. You can find the link for the YouTube version in the show notes, And you can, of course, find Memories of Holdenshire episodes 1 through 7 right here in this podcast feed. Would you like to summarily execute an imp like Hyland did in this episode? Cast Party's professional dungeon masters are available to hire for online games. We have games for kids as well as adults, and our DMs can run almost any of the official Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition adventures, as well as third-party adventures and even some we've created ourselves. We can also run games for Pathfinder 2E, Blades in the Dark, Dungeon Crawl Classics, Alien the Role-Playing Game, Monster of the Week, and others. Check us out at cast-party.com and follow us on Facebook at CastPartyD&D, on Twitter at CastParty2, on Instagram at cast_party, or on TikTok at cast_party. You can watch episodes of Podcast Party on YouTube, complete with artwork, battle maps, character portraits, and even a little bit of animation. Check the show notes for the link or visit cast-party.com. Quick update on Secrets of the Blind Palace, the Dungeon Masters Guild best-selling adventure by Cast Party's Tali Viezer, with maps by Cast Party's Carolyn Fox. If you, the listeners, can make Secrets of the Blind Palace go platinum on DM's Guild, Cast Party will record a special actual play mini-series of it and release it as a podcast. Okay, we have an updated count. We now need just 9 more copies sold to get there. So, if you want to hear that show, and if you want to stop hearing this ad, and if you want to let me out of saying this ad, please go buy Tal's Adventure. It's only $2.99. So that's $2.99 to get the PDF version, or for $6.75, you can get the bundle that has both the PDF and the Roll20 version. Either of those purchases will count towards making it go platinum. So please help me, if for no other reason, just help me. $2.99. Thank you. It's a 4 to 7 hour Dungeons & Dragons adventure for 3 to 7 characters of levels 1 to 4. Go buy Secrets of the Blind Palace at DM's Guild or follow the link in the show notes. Please. If you enjoy Podcast Party, please follow the show, rate us, and leave us a review. We'd love to hear from you. Message us on social media or email us at info@cast-party.com. Follow us on Facebook at CastPartyD&D, on Twitter at CastParty2, on Instagram at Cast_party, or on TikTok at Cast_party. Thanks very much for listening, and now back to our adventure in Avernus.
Gotta go to the Demon Zapper.
Yeah, we need to go to the Demon Zapper.
Yeah. All right, Corbin will make sure everybody's in and has their seatbelt on. And Corbin will crank over the engine and get us rolling.
You've been to the Demon Zapper before, so go ahead and roll 2d8.
Here we go. 5 and a 3.
Nice.
Yay.
You end up seeing on the horizon the edifice that you have seen in the past, this tower streaking to the sky with this golden orb in between two mandibles, which you know the unicorn has been trapped in. And anything of demonic nature that comes within 100 feet or so of it would get, well, zapped.
Ren, we're almost there. Don't die this time, all right?
The last time there was something invisible here.
It was?
When we got close, it appeared right next to the tower.
Oh, well, let's keep a lookout.
Right.
You guys can make perception checks if you like.
Yes, please.
Corbin's going to look for, like, disturbances in the sand or bone dust or...
When we get within 60 feet of the tower, I'm going to use Divine Sense.
Island got an 18 perception.
Corbin got a 23.
Renaissance got a 21.
Corbin and Renaissance, as you speed towards the tower, you do, in fact, see these humongous piles of sand and dirt and rocks that seem to have been thrown up as if something was underneath the very surface of Avernus, some tremendous force that burrowed up through the ground and punched its way through the surface towards the Demon Zapper. And you then see charred carcasses, or at least partial charred carcasses, of demonic entities, some of which you've seen, some of which you have never seen before.
Like it was some big assault on this thing? Like a whole bunch of them hit it at once?
Based on the fact that you got a 23, I would say that, yeah, like a whole bunch just charged the Demon Zapper at once, coming up through the ground, and they were all laid waste to.
Can we still see the unicorn up in the sphere?
Through the golden light, you can see the faint outline of a unicorn.
Right. Once we get close enough, I will spin the dreidel.
Yeah, you get within 60. You've gone past the point where, at which point you would have been zapped if you were a demon. Here within 60 feet, spin the dreidel. The only thing that seems to indicate a celestial nature is, because the tower is 100 feet up, it just indicates Lulu.
Okay. And no fiends. It's not detecting any fiends.
No fiends.
Where's Ralzala?
I'm not sure they were visible either when we first arrived here.
They were in the ground.
How do we contact them?
I think we just say hello.
I hop out of the ragawagon holding the Titan's blood.
Corbin goes with him.
Same.
Ralzala the Dao, we're here to fulfill our promise.
There is a rumble, and the earth spits out this figure from before, this flowing robe and massive muscled arms of the Dao. And they come forth, and their hair is framed around them with glowing golden eyes. They look down at you. They are, of course, armed with this hammer, this enormous maul. Ralzala is about 10 feet tall.
Cool.
We bring you what we've owed, as promised. I hold out the vial towards them.
And they furrow their brow for a sec, looking at the five of you.
You have obtained the blood of a Titan.
It took some doing, but you helped us when we most needed you. So we've come hopefully to give you your freedom.
Yes, then my pact with Zariel is, it is dissolved.
And they reach out their hand for the blood.
Once you're gone, will we be able to free the unicorn?
I will no longer be tasked with guarding Mooncolor, so...
Do you know anything about that sphere that she's in?
It is a construct made from the power of this tower, but I hold the ability to dispel it, if need be.
Will you do that before you leave?
Make a persuasion check.
Guidance.
That's an 18 without guidance. With guidance, it is a 22.
Oh, thank God.
Ralzala looks at you. Just the briefest glimpse of a smile appears on their face.
You have performed beyond my wildest aspirations. You have obtained something that I have waited centuries for. It is only fitting that I do what you ask.
Here you go. I give them the blood.
They uncork this vial of Titan's blood, and Ralzala takes it, puts it to their lips, and drinks this blood. The orange fluid spills out onto Rosala's cheeks as they drink it like a
Fanta?
Yeah, like a Fanta. Amazing. I wasn't even thinking about that. I was thinking of something much more dramatic, but yeah. Fanta. The creature's eyes glow with power, clearly brought on by imbibing this fluid. There are, on the wrists of this creature, infernal iron bands. And as Ralzala finishes drinking the Titan's blood, they flex and look down at these bands, and the bands begin to expand outward and then snap and fall to the ground of Avernus.
Yeah.
And Ralzala roars with triumph.
I think Zariel's gonna be pissed at us.
What else is new?
Fair enough. Thank you for saving my friend.
I put my hand on Renaissance's shoulder.
I put my hand on Corbin's hand.
Ralzala looks at you, Corbin, and says, "It was not I that saved him. It was you.
I provided the diamonds, but diamonds do not make one alive."
True. Well, I'm very happy to see you free. I think it's time we get to Mooncolor. I wish you all the best.
Although it is unlikely in such a place, I wish you the same.
And then Ralzala turns and faces upward and extends their hand towards this glowing orb atop the demon zapper. They close their eyes and their hand begins to glow with a bluish light, and you begin to see the orb begin to flicker and fade, and then it shatters as the unicorn atop it jumps horn first straight out through the orb, and then is held aloft as if by some invisible hand, and gently floats to the ground where she stands before you.
Amazing.
Wow.
Are you all right, Mooncolor?
Mooncolor telepathically responds,
"I am now. Thank you. Thank you, Ralzala. Now that your duty is completed, I can once again return to Celestia. And of course, with you."
And Ralzala looks as Mooncolor points her horn at Lulu.
Huh.
That's right, Lulu said that she knew you.
Yes, yes, I was tasked to rescue Lulu long, long ago. Lulu looks shocked.
Wow.
Mooncolor, you knew Lulu and Celestia. Was she always, I sort of hold my hands like Lulu-sized, like Lulu distance apart. We've seen pictures of like a much bigger elephant.
And Corbin spreads his arms out really far.
Bigger than this.
If a horse could smile and not be creepy.
It can't happen.
But it can't.
But it can't. Then that is what you see.
Do you know where the Bleeding Citadel is, Mooncolor?
Mooncolor's smile fades. Unfortunately, I do not, but I do know two entities here in Avernus who 100% know the location of the Bleeding Citadel.
It would be a great help if you'd tell us.
One is, well, the ex-arch-devil, Bell. And he's forged far across the landscape of Avernus. He will not admit anyone unless he is provided a writ of entry, which, of course, I will be able to provide.
Oh, fantastic.
However, if Bell is perhaps not to your liking, you may seek out the one known as Olanthius. Olanthius is an unfortunate soul. He was once one of the original Hellriders that rode with Zariel and is now a powerful but troubled and suffering entity. He resides at the Crypt of the Hellriders.
That sounds better.
Corbin, where's... Oh, I've got it. I unfurl the map and I say, we know where Bell's Forge is. I sort of point to the volcano in the upper right quadrant of the map. But this Crypt of the Hellriders we've not heard of before. Could you show us?
Yes, yes, of course. Mooncolor points their horn at a point on the map that's actually relatively close to the Demon Zapper. It looks like a pile of ruined buildings near a lake of magma.
I vote Olanthius.
Even though I think it seems like we'd want to go to the crypt and hopefully get that from Olanthius, if Mooncolor can provide the writ of passage to Bell's Forge, I think we should take that as well, just in case.
Agreed.
We don't find what we need at the crypt.
Right. I don't want to go to Bell's Forge, though.
Nobody does, but we might have to if things don't work out at the crypt.
Yeah, can't hurt to have a writ and never use it.
Yeah, no harm in having a writ. Pretty sure that's a saying. I sort of whisper to Hyland, but how's Mooncolor going to write? She's only got floppy little hooves.
It's a unicorn. Just have faith.
The unicorn turns in your direction, reticence, and says, if you will allow me, do you have a piece of parchment?
Ophelia does.
I do. I give the parchment to Mooncolor.
Mooncolor lowers their head, and the horn touches very gently onto the parchment itself, and brilliant golden letters begin to appear on the parchment. It says, the creatures that hold this parchment are subject to the protection of Mooncolor, and are thereby granted passage to Bell's Forge to entreat with the creature known as Bell. No harm shall come to them whilst I am on this plane of existence. And it is signed Mooncolor.
Wow.
Wow.
But Mooncolor, aren't you going to return to Celestia?
I have longed to return to Celestia with Lulu.
I see.
If it so requires that I retain my place here on Avernus to fight the forces of darkness, then so be it.
Thank you. What we're doing here is very important. I can't imagine how hard it must be for you to stay here.
I assume Lulu will be staying with you.
I think that's Lulu's choice.
Lulu's eyes sort of flip back and forth between Mooncolor and the four of you. Lulu says, Mooncolor, I don't want to offend you or anything. I know it seems like we've been pals for a long time. Well, I've kind of grown to really love these four folks, and I wouldn't want anything bad to happen to them. And so therefore, they're under my protection too.
Aww.
Mooncolor gives Lulu a little bit of a, I know what you're up to, look, and Lulu smiles. And then Mooncolor says, then they are indeed under your protection, Lulu. Fulfill your duties. And Lulu flies a little bit more upright and says, I will. And then Mooncolor says, if you have nothing else.
Thank you so much for your help.
Mooncolor rears up and launches herself into the distance. You watch her canter and gallop away.
Ophelia, could I hold that writ of entry? I'll keep it safe.
You can have it, Corbin.
Thank you. Corbin will tuck it away.
You're welcome.
now that Mooncolor is gone. The Dao looks down at the five of you and says, well, now that is complete, I suppose I shall return to my plane, unless there is anything that you need of me.
You don't have any diamonds you don't want, do you?
No. Unfortunately, all the diamonds that were in the vicinity of this tower I have given to you.
Thank you again.
Now that Mooncolor is gone and you are soon to leave, the demon zapper is fully deactivated, right?
Yes, that is correct.
We should leave as soon as possible.
Could also mean that Zariel will be looking for a new celestial to stick in there. Yeah, all the more reason to get away from it.
Yes, I quite agree.
All right, let's look at the map again. Shouldn't be too far to the Crypt of the Hellriders.
Rosala nods. Just as they came from the Earth before, they sink back into the Earth, and the Plains of Avernus close up over their head.
Wow.
All right, let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah, agreed. Go back into the Ragawagon, secure ourselves at our stations.
Yep.
Corbin will, once everybody's ready, will hit the gas. Peel out of here. Heading towards the Crypt of the Hellriders.
So because it's a new destination, even though you have the map, you are going to have to chart a course. So in this case, it's actually 2D4.
All right, somebody navigate for me. I'm concentrating on driving.
Right, I got this. Don't worry, everyone.
You got it. And get the Ica or Ico or whatever it is ready in case we need it.
All right, I actually rolled a 3 and a 2.
All right, fantastic. So Woo. You do end up heading to this location, the Crypt of the Hellriders.
On the way there, Corbin's going to remind everybody about the biker gang we saw.
Watch out for Luxury. Keep an eye out and her biker jerks.
Yeah.
They're probably around here somewhere.
Yep. This is their territory.
When you arrive at the Crypt of the Hellriders, it's pretty clear. Acrid smog swirls around a barren hill, rising from which, like giant tombstones, are a pair of leaning monoliths, each soaring more than 50 feet into the smoky red sky. Dozens of armored knights kneel in motionless reverence before the monoliths, between which a set of onyx steps leads down under the hill.
Oh, that is ominous.
Are those knights statues, or are they actual knights?
You are not close enough to determine that.
How close are we?
40 feet away.
Ren, do you want to do your dreidel?
Yeah, good call. Pull out the dreidel and spin it.
There are no fiends, celestials, or undead in the range of this particular ability.
I think they might actually just be statues. But you know what I always say? Most important lesson I learned at Ilmata School for Friendless Boys.
You never go in the front door if you don't have to.
Yep. It's like you were a poor little orphan yourself. Let's just have a quick poke around and see if there's any other way into this place aside from walking past them statues.
Wait, Ren.
Yeah?
You get a vigilant blessing from Ilmata.
Cheers, Corbin.
You'll have advantage on the next initiative.
Advantage on my next initiative, yeah, got it.
Wait, those words are so technical.
Yeah, can we just sort of scan around? Does it have a perimeter? Can we see sides of it?
It's just a hill, so it's sort of like a barrow, if you know what I mean, right? You see that there's just an opening in this hill.
Can we spend a few minutes just sort of walking within 100 feet or so around the hill just to see if there are any other...
I can ask Lily to fly around if you'd like.
Yeah, just to see if we can spot any other ways in besides walking past those knight statues.
Okay, did you hear that, Lily?
Meow, 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 meow.
Okay, great, thanks. Be careful.
Lily takes off, and you see her fly 50-foot-wide circle around the top of the hill. You can see through her eyes, am I correct, Hyland?
Yes, that's correct. I can no longer see myself, but I can see what she's seeing.
There are dozens of these figures, all facing this opening in the hill. Their armor is not in any way shiny at all. It's been rusted, pitted, dented, very, very aged and weathered. They're all kneeling, which seems to show some kind of obeisance, some kind of importance to this place. But beyond that, you don't see anything moving at all through Lily's eyes.
Okay, I'll just say thank you, Lily. You can come back and I'll tell everyone what I saw.
And Lily didn't see any other entrances?
No, there were no other entrances.
Did we notice when Lily was flying around if any of them looked up at her?
None of them looked up at her.
Have we seen enough Hell Knight regalia at this point to determine whether the statues seem to be wearing Hell Knight armor uniforms?
If you were to get close enough, you could take a look.
Yeah, okay. Let's get closer. We'll get 10, 15 feet closer.
Mm-hmm. You walk towards perhaps the first ring of knights, and from 10 feet away, you see that indeed the symbol of Elturel is stamped on every single one of these armored knights.
And can we see faces, or are they covered by like full helms?
Many of them are covered by helms, but the ones that do not have the visors or full either basket helms or anything like that, you just see skulls.
Oh. I mean, it didn't detect undead, the dreidel.
Right. Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah.
This may be their bodies. Like, they may not be undead. Like, their skeletons may be inside these things. I'm going to cast Alarm again around the Ragawagon since we're leaving it parked out here. So I'll just take a minute to pull the silver thread around the Ragawagon, and I'm going to set it to be a mental alarm. So only I will hear it, and it works as long as I'm within a mile of the Ragawagon.
Time's
wasting.
Maybe
it's nothing.
Yeah.
We should just go past them.
Yeah, I mean, they don't seem to be reacting to us at all, right?
No, they don't.
Okay. All right, let's have a look at the door.
While we're walking, I'm just going to look around on the ground to see if I would notice any sort of trap situation or like something that looks not quite right.
You could make an investigation check.
Ooh, that's a nat 20 for a 30.
I hate to waste a nat 20 like that for you, Hylan. It's so gorgeous.
I'm happy as long as we're not blowing up, you know?
Yeah, at least we know.
There is nothing that you can see or discern.
As we're walking up, Corbin's going to half close his eyes a little bit, and he's going to use his ears more, and he's going to try to listen to hear if he has any creak in old rusty armor or bones clacking, like any of them moving in any way.
Perception check?
That's a 30.
Ooh, nice. Double 30s.
You don't hear anything but the sound of the wind and the sands. There are a couple of basalt doors which block seemingly the entrance to this crypt. Their surfaces are engraved with a relief of a knight locked in combat with some kind of devilish foe. And both are wielding burning swords. And there is a word, or two words, I should say. One is written in Infernal, and one is written in Celestial.
I can read both of the words then.
So can I.
Those of you who can read both Infernal and Celestial see that the words "For Glory" are inscribed on the door.
Does this do anything to Ophelia? My memories have been suppressed, but we know with Lulu they can be triggered again.
Make a wisdom saving throw.
You will have a +3 on that since I'm next to you.
So that's an 11.
Doesn't tickle anything in your brain.
So does that phrase mean anything to anyone? For glory?
As you say for glory, the doors immediately begin to swing open.
I draw Heavensfall. Look inside. Is anything coming out?
You don't see anything coming out. You see a tunnel past this small set of stairs descending down.
Ilmalta, let everyone see.
Eyes of Night. Everyone now has 300 feet of dark vision.
Yes.
Awesome.
Nice. All right. Suppose we should try to be quiet, yeah?
Yes, let's try. Let's try, you know? Let's try.
Give me a marching order, please.
I think I'll go first.
I'll go second.
Corbin will be in the middle.
I'll stay in the back. I'll be in the back. I'm going to keep an eye out.
Renaissance is going to get guidance on stealth.
Renaissance got a 9 on stealth.
Hylan got a 15.
Corbin got a 21.
Ophelia rolled a 15.
Awesome.
Give Lulu a chance to fuck all this up. She rolled a 19. Renaissance, you see that the tunnel makes a T intersection and goes to your left and to your right.
I'm just going to listen here at the T section and see if I hear anything coming from either side.
All right, make a perception check.
A 5.
You don't hear anything but the susurrations of the wind.
In that case, I'm going to slowly make my way to the east.
And then we all follow you, I suppose?
Corridor is opening up into a larger room in front of me, so I stop here at the entrance just to check it out.
Yeah, you see that there are large iron burial urns positioned throughout this room, and each of them are engraved with a noble coat of arms from the city of Elturel, and there are polished swords, lances, and shields hanging from racks on the walls.
I'm going to step into this space, more or less into the middle of the room, to allow my companions to come in. I see that there are passages leading off the room. Looks like one to the southeast and one due south. So if they're going to search the room or do anything in here, I'm actually just going to watch those passages to see if there's anything coming towards us from either the southeast or the south.
You don't see anything in your line of sight, considering that you now have eyes of night and that your vision extends down about 300 feet at its maximum. You see that the tunnels do end up in other rooms, but you're not sure what's in them.
Okay, I'm just going to keep watch here and while they do whatever they want to do in this room.
Corbin is going to get a little closer to the passages, and he's just going to close his eyes and try to listen to see if he hears any noise from any direction.
You don't hear anything.
I feel like I can see something to the southeast.
I see down there what looks like maybe caskets or sarcophagi.
Sarcophagus, yeah.
Yeah. Down the corridor to the south, it looks like it's lined with alcoves that have sarcophagi.
I mean, it is a crypt, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose that's reasonable.
Yeah, you look down, and those of you who can see down to the south, you see that there are recesses in the walls which hold iron burial caskets. You're not quite sure what you see from your position, but there's something on the lids of each one of these caskets.
Does anyone want to search these? You say there are funerary urns in here, Matt?
Yeah, there are funerary urns. That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, let's search them.
Yeah, I'll take one and Ophelia can take one. Seems like there are two piles.
So you open the urns to try to see what's in them, yeah?
Yeah, just give a peek. I don't want to be too disrespectful.
Try to be as respectful as possible.
What's normally in these, like ashes and things?
Yeah. Is this a weapons rack here on?
That's correct. There are swords, lances, and shields.
Anything stand out from the other ones? Like, are they all rusted and one's not?
No, surprisingly, they're actually very beautifully polished. They don't show any signs of wear or rust at all.
Hmm. Corbin, you dropped your detect magic, right?
Yeah, because I did the remove
Sorry.
Curse.
Highland was slightly cursed all night, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll tell you what, Matt, I'm going to cast detect magic. I don't have the ability to cast this as a ritual, so I will just instantly cast it, burning a first level spell slot. It does still last 10 minutes. Am I getting anything off of the weapons on that rack?
Yeah, you see that the weapons are indeed magically imbued somehow.
Mm. How about the urns?
The urns do not seem magically imbued. You see that they are normal pieces of finery.
And I'm sorry, did they open those urns?
And I'm just going to take a little peek.
As you do so, the urn begins to shake as you pop the top off. And as you watch, three semi-translucent figures appear in the space before you.
Oh, God, ghosts. I hate ghosts.
And did you say that out loud?
Jesus yes. Christ.
I hate you.
Oh, my God.
Carrie said
no,
it.
I think okay. I just I said it to okay. myself, Carrie.
That's fine. What does Hylan potentially say or do once these things appear?
I just say, we have company.
Should we all see them or just Hylan?
Yeah, you all see them. You spin around and these three spirits are just hovering there. They have very stern looks on their faces and they look at the five of you. And one of them speaks and says,
who be you? How dare you disturb our rest?
So we meant no disrespect. We come here looking for Olanthius. We need him to help Elturel, the people of Elturel. You are Hellriders.
We're friends of the Hellriders.
Yeah.
Rhea Mantlemorn is a good friend of ours. We fought side by side.
They would see me wearing the Helm of Tormsight as well.
That is true. That is true. Go ahead and make persuasion checks, or one of you can choose to do so with advantage, since multiple people talked.
I'm pretty good. Do you mind if I take it with advantage?
Go for it.
No, go for it.
Definitely not Corbin.
That is going to be a 26.
Very nice. The ghostly figures stare at you. They quickly look over at Ophelia, and then the one who speaks says,
Olanthius, yes, he is here amongst us. We are cursed. The oath we swore to Zariel binds us to her service. You must help us. Help us to find rest.
How can we do that? How can we help you? We want to help.
You must convince Olanthius to renounce his loyalty. He has killed himself rather than embrace tyranny. And Zariel has raised him from the grave as a knight of death.
Will he speak with us? Can we still talk to him? Can we reach him?
It is unlikely unless you know his past. Search here among the crypt for his journal. If you find it, you may be able to convince him to join your side. If not, your doom will be the same as ours.
We'll do our best. Do you know where he keeps his journal?
He has kept quarters here in the catacombs. His rooms may contain this evidence. His humanity is somewhere still within him.
Thank you. We mean no disrespect and we'll defile nothing here in the catacombs. We'll do our best to help Olanthius and you.
The three ghosts nod in unison and then slowly fade. Hylan, if you're still holding the top of that urn, it flies from your grip and shuts itself on top like the Ark of the Covenant at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Fair enough.
You know how we didn't take that sword we left in place in the tomb under Highhall? I feel like we should sort of be respectful of things here, even if they're magic like those are. I'd point to the magic weapons. I don't think we should...
I feel much better knowing that these are actually Hell Riders and the spirits of Hell Riders and not something warped.
Yeah. We still gotta hopefully find this journal of Olanthius before Olanthius finds us, because if we don't have it, I don't think he'll be in much of a talking mood, sounds like. Do you think south or southeast?
South doesn't look like his room. It looks like crypts. I say southeast.
Oh, hang on a second.
Can't you, have that thing?
Yeah,
I'm gonna give it a shot.
Okay. Yeah, I reach into my pack, I pull out a forked twig, and I draw it over the eye on my breastplate. And I'm going to cast Locate Object.
Awesome.
I'm going to describe a journal, nearest object of a particular kind. So it should direct me towards the nearest journal within 1,000 feet.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
That is one of my favorite spells.
Twice in one campaign is a lot of use out of this spell.
Well, let's see if it works.
Yeah, true.
The only strong feeling that you get is indeed to the northeast of your position.
Okay, the eyeball in my breastplate swivels and looks northeast.
All right, let's follow it. Let's, it seems like south.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll go southeast. Is that the best we can do?
Yep.
All right, so I'm going to head down the southeast tunnel, Matt.
Oh, it's a dead end. There's no other way out of this room.
What's in it?
It looks like four sarcophagi.
So incidentally, Matt, the locate object is concentration.
Okay.
So I have had to drop detect magic, which was also concentration.
Got it. Thank you, sir.
Okay, now that we're here, which way is the eye looking?
It's looking pretty much north.
Maybe we should have gone west to begin with?
Well, I mean, too far north would have put us back outside.
Four memorial steles stand in this hall, each engraved with hundreds of names. A legend etched at the top of each stele reads in common, "Here lie the fallen. May their souls echo here until the end of time." Adorning the wall across from the steles is a carved relief showing a solemn, blindfolded angel on the back of a mammoth with feathered wings.
Yep.
The mammoth is reared up on its hind legs, and the angel holds her sword high. All around them are the broken bodies of fallen knights and devils. Lulu is stunned. She is face to face with herself.
I knew it.
What? No. That's not me. That's me.
I think that's you.
I even asked Mooncolor about it, and she smiled, which I didn't think horses could do.
Yeah, that's real creepy.
It was a little creepy, yep. But look, Lulu, that's you.
Yeah.
Will you make me a promise?
What?
If you ever get that big again like that, Could I ride on you?
That's a bit rude.
Not to you being disrespectful, I just thought it would be cool.
She turns slowly in your direction,
Not
Corbin.
Not being disrespectful, it's cool.
First thing
I don't
you
know,
think
Corbin,
of?
Maybe if you get big, I could ride on you. That's fine.
All right. That's a deal. We'll shake on it.
She puts out her trunk.
He puts out his hand and they shake.
Which way is the eye looking?
It's looking north.
Yeah, we have to back out of this room.
Well, hang on, though. Before we backtrack, though, I think we should make sure there's not a secret door there, right? Because it could be due north of this room. There could be a secret door in that wall.
Okay, all right. Ophelia and I will go look for a door.
Highland, guidance.
I know I kept trying to do this in the other thing, and I was wrong, but I just want to eliminate the possibility that
That's a natural 20 for a 30.
Look at you.
There is, in fact, a secret panel that seems that seems to open.
Thank God for me. Thank God for me.
Oh my God.
What, you didn't do nothing. We found it.
You were going to go back outside.
No, I was asking you for a ride. I was not.
I was definitely on my way out of here. But here's a door, so.
I would like to listen at the door.
Perception check.
Guidance. That's a 30 plus my guidance is a 32.
You don't hear anything.
Or I don't hear anything.
All right, go in.
Want to check it? Make sure there's no, it's like, no.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Check for
traps or magic or something. I'm just going to back off a little.
Sure.
Investigation.
Okay, that's a 24.
Don't notice any traps.
I will open the door.
Inside this small room, you see a large writing table.
Yes.
And atop this writing table, you see a stack of 8 leather-bound journals.
Yes.
Ren, is your eyeball looking at it?
I look down at my eyeball.
Your eyeball is pointing right at it.
Yeah, it's looking at it. It's one of these. I just gesture to them.
Ophelia picks up one of the journals.
Most of the pages are smudged and burned, but there are maybe one or two pages which are discernible.
It says, I can't go on anymore. I should have seen Zariel's fall from grace before it happened. She always had a single-minded obsession to slay demons at any cost. Her capitulation to Asmodeus should have stopped her. She would have listened to me. But it is all too late now. I am going to take my own life before she turns me into the abomination that she made Caramon into. Zariel, if you ever read this, I loved you.
I'll pick up another journal and read it.
Yeah, this one is completely burned to smithereens. It just falls to ash in your hands.
I start carefully trying to see if any of the others have anything legible in them.
There are 3 journals that are left after you've sorted through them. The one that Ophelia has picked up, and then there are 2 more.
I'll read the one of them. Zariel made me into one of her generals. Not even my death stood in her way. I've tried to end it again, but I just rise again. Harriman stands proudly by her side, but I can't help to feel that all of this is wrong. Harriman was always heartless and punishes everyone who stands in Zariel's way. He fits his role. I don't.
Terribly sad.
Corbin wants to stand guard. He doesn't want to read.
I'll read the last one. Now I sit in these halls, writing these words, but I can't help my fallen companions. I can't help Zariel, and I can't help those who rest in this place. I can't help to think that if General Yael would be here, she would know what to do. She was always the smart one. I once thought we would be friends if we could get out of here alive, but that is only a bad dream now. That will never happen. I know where she hid the sword, though, but I don't know why.
Is there anything else on this desk?
No, it's just the journals.
Well, hopefully there's enough here to remind him of his humanity like the ghosts asked us to.
I think Lulu could definitely have a connection with him, having loved Zariel herself.
Lulu should read these.
Lulu, you knew Olanthius even if you don't remember him. Perhaps this might help you remember.
Yeah, you're right. I have to take a moment. I'm just a little overwhelmed. Let me have a think.
And she flies over in a corner and sits down.
Once she's had a moment, I think we should move on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think we should take a break because Corbin has to pee.
I think that's a really good idea. Yeah. Why don't we take a break now so that Corbin pees and we'll come back.
All right.
Thanks very much for listening. This episode featured the Dungeon Master stylings of the one and only Matt Gordon, with Tali Viazor as Renaissance, Carolyn Fox as Hyland, Rachel Tamron as Ophelia, and me, Andy Canistra, as Painbearer Corbin Shiv. This episode was edited by Tali Viazor and Carolyn Fox. Our original theme music is by Lauren Anker and Anthony DiMasso. Remember, if you enjoy Podcast Party, please follow the show, rate us, and leave us a review. It only takes a minute, and we'd really appreciate it. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with the next episode of Descent into Avernus.
Did you hear that, Lily?
Meow, 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 meow.
Okay, great. Thanks. Be careful.
For a second, I'm so sorry, Carrie. For a second, I got like Daniel Tiger flashbacks for a second. I'm so sorry. I went, meow, 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 meow. I'm like, whoa, what am I doing?
Meow, meow, statues, meow, meow.
Yes, 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 yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, what am I doing?
How do you know Daniel Tiger, Tal?
Daniel Tiger's been around. Daniel Tiger's from Mr. Rogers, no?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It is an interesting dialect because it's just meow, meow, perfectly clear English word, meow, meow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Meow, yeah. Meow, credenza, meow, meow.
Credenza.
Wow.
Yeah, meow, meow, legislation, meow, meow.
Oh, my God.